One night in 1910, a little girl is born during a snowstorm in the English countryside. The baby has a cord wrapped around her neck. She turns blue and gasps for life. The doctor can't make it through the snow, and the little girl dies. Then that same little girl is born on another night in 1910, but this time, the doctor trudges through the storm, delivers the baby, and stays for breakfast. The little girl becomes Ursula. She's joyful and happy, but on a beach outing with her family when she's five, she's slurped up by a wave while she's holding the hand of her sister. Ursula dies again. But then on another afternoon, the wave crashes against her. This time, an amateur painter is set up nearby who sees Ursula and her sister and clambers into the water and plucks them up both. Ursula's parents treat him to tea. End of story? Never. Really. The many lives and deaths of Ursula Todd are related, interlocked, and grow in and out of each other. In Kate Atkinson's new novel, Life After Life. And Kate Atkinson, the Whitbread Award-winning author of previous novels, including Case Histories, joins us from the BBC in Edinburgh. Thanks so much for being with us.
Ah, it's a pleasure.
This novel is so intricately plotted.
Uh-huh.
I have to ask, did you write it out on shirt cardboards, index cards, a tapestry like the, you know, Bayeux tapestry? Is this all done by computer program? How'd you manage it?
This, to me, was much easier to write than the previous four novels because they were, to all intents and purposes, crime novels, and they are tapestries. That's a very good analogy for them because it's two steps forward, one step back. You're always going back and putting something in because it's all about clues and plotting. Whereas this, because I knew where I was going to start and I knew where I wanted to end and I knew that it was all about her being born, always going to come back to February the 11th, 1910, in a snowstorm. So it was a much more rhythmic way of writing. I just started at the beginning and wrote to the end. It was actually relatively easy.
As I've been telling people, this is not, to my mind, a novel about the road not taken so much as this is a book that takes every road.
Yes. That's true.
Which prompts the question, is Ursula Todd the same character, life after life?
Yes, she's definitely the same character. But I think what happens is, I mean, she has all these lives, but she learns and she doesn't always correct. And she certainly doesn't always correct in the right way, mm-hmm. but she changes and she changes things. Not that she improves herself, I think, but that she gets stronger and she gets more courageous.
Does having Ursula die so often only to be returned to life risk making death somehow less resonant?
For me, it actually simply compounded it so that it was a layer upon layer of awfulness, really. We should point out that this isn't a novel entirely mired in gloom and doom. There are some lighter moments in it. But
it can be incredibly funny, too. But part of that, I must say, as a reader, is that the first couple of times she died, I wept.
Mm.
By the fourth or fifth time.
Yeah, you were like, here she goes again.
Yes, exactly. And what's going to happen next? Which is not bad, but there's a part of me that thinks that death ought to be saved to make a point.
But did you not think by the time she died in the Berlin Blitz that you'd come around to thinking that was incredibly sad again?
Yes, I was weeping.
She dies a lot in the first third of the book, but I would say in the second two-thirds of the book, she actually dies very little. Until we get to the Blitz, she has a whole cascade of horrible deaths in the Blitz. But after we've set the pattern, I think there's less of that. So it changes, it alters. Sometimes it's very sad, sometimes it's poignant, sometimes it's rather offhand, I think.
The Blitz is, for those of us who love Britain, this is the Odyssey. This is the Iliad. This is the great story of the British character. But you weren't around for it in person. And I wonder what kind of research you did, aside from watching some fabulous old movies, I'm sure.
Well, I was born in 51, so I just missed it. And I think they do say it's the period of history you just miss that becomes the one that interests you most, isn't it? But I think with the Blitz, I think it was such an intense period. I forget how many days, it's 57 or 58 days of continuous bombing, or nights of continuous bombing, sometimes daytime bombing. And you do wonder what effect that has on character and on how people feel. So I read a lot of first-hand accounts and was impressed really by the stoicism. I think out of all the words I would use for how people behaved, it would be stoic. You know, you have to peel away lots of layers of propaganda because there was an immense amount of propaganda in Britain in the Second World War, which was deem necessary to keep morale up. So you have to sort of see through that to how people were really feeling and behaving. But I, you know, if I could choose a period to go back to, I think I would like to live through the Brits, because you do read so many accounts of people say that they were living their lives at such an intense pitch that it was a completely different way of living.
As a novelist, do you try out different paths in your novel before you settle on one?
I usually try different novels. I usually start writing a novel that I then abandon. When I say abandon, I don't think any writer ever abandons anything that they regard as even a half good sentence. So you recycle. I mean, I can hang on to a sentence for several years and then put it into a book that's completely different from the one it started in. So I think it's, you sort of nose your way into it, I think.
Kate Atkinson, her new novel, Life After Life. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Listening to Weekend Edition from NPR News.